I've never eaten a fruitcake. Never had one. Couldn't tell you what they taste like. I have no idea. Never eaten a fruitcake. The only reason I know about fruitcakes is that growing up, popular culture, cartoons, movies, TV shows, late night talk show hosts all made fun of fruitcake. Right? It was that gift you received in the mail from those one relatives, those weirdos, that always mailed you a fruitcake. You never ate it. It sat on the shelf for years before you passed it on to somebody else. They were tasteless and dry and hard to chew and nasty. I mean, I suppose. I've never eaten a fruitcake. But that is what my transmedia social upbringing taught me. Johnny Carson used to joke every Christmas that there is only one fruitcake in the whole world. It's just passed around. No one eating it. Everyone re-gifting the dastardly delight. Fruitcakes, I learned, were to be avoided. I mean, I suppose. I've never eaten fruitcake. I had to look them up for this sermon. Found out that they are a traditional celebratory sweet, typically given at weddings or Christmas. In the U.S., they're packed with dried fruit and nuts and spices. Starting in the early 20th century, around 1913, there were two bakeries in the United States that made fruitcakes you could mail. One was in Georgia, one was in California. They both had a good connection to nuts, so they filled the fruitcakes full of nuts. They loaded them with sugar, which helped to preserve the fruit, and booze, which helped to preserve the fruit. There is one family I discovered in my research that has held on to a fruitcake in their family since the mid-1800s, continually adding more booze and sugar to it to keep it preserved. Fascinating stuff. Because American fruitcakes tend to have more nuts in them than other fruitcakes, which apparently there are other fruitcakes in the world, because American fruitcakes have more nuts because of those two companies, that's where we get the expression nutty as a fruitcake. Fascinating stuff! I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to eat one. I have no desire to eat a fruitcake. You see, fruitcakes might actually be delightful. They might be delicious. But it's too late. I have been turned from the fruitcake. For 47 years, I have heard and been conditioned to believe that they're awful. I've been taught and shown time and time and time again they are not the gift that you want to receive. It's been drilled into my head that fruitcakes are the bane of the holiday season. And so regardless of the truth of their existence, regardless of the actual worth of their presence, I don't care. It's too late. I don't want a fruitcake now because I believe that it won't be any good. Christmas time is such a fun time. It's a time of gifts. We like to give gifts. We like to get gifts. You and I, we have a gift that we get to give at this time of the year. The story of God's inbreaking to the human experience, the story of Jesus come as babe in manger, the beginning of transformation and redemption begun in that stable in Bethlehem. Say what you will about the supposed non-existent war on Christmas, but you cannot deny, even if you think the world is against us, really not. You cannot deny that the story of Christmas has not permeated into the world. Mary and Joseph, stable and manger, shepherds and angels, this story has seeped into every corner of the world for this month. Our gift is that we get to live a faith that begins in that manger. A faith of hope and joy and love and peace. A faith that starts in Bethlehem, goes through Calvary, and never ends. Our gift is faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Hebrews tells us. Faith, the belief that there is more than this. The belief that there is a God and God loves us and redeems us and calls us home. The belief that no matter what this world throws at me, I do not stand alone. The belief that whether or not my journey involves victory or defeat, my God is walking with me, leading me on. Faith is our gift, a gift that we were given. Someone in your journey gave you this gift. Perhaps a parent, or a sibling, or a spouse, or a friend, or even a stranger. You were given this gift to carry on your journey and given only two instructions for it. Hold on to it as tight as you can and give it away every chance you get. Someone gave you this gift at some point before today. They handed it to you, maybe in a time of need, maybe in a time of joy, maybe just through practiced repetition. They kept handing it to you over and over and over until finally you said, "Fine, I'll take it." And so we go out into the world. During the time of celebration of the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem, a time when the whole world is decked out in festive holiday swag, we go out to share this gift. And we discover that for much of the world, we are hawking old fruitcake. We go forth to share this wonderful gift of hope and love and joy and peace and find that some don't want it. Because they have been taught, they have been shown, they have learned to believe that it is old and dry and tasteless and worthless. We try to give it away only to find that some will only take it wincingly and then hurriedly pass it on, unwilling to actually hold on to it for too long. The faith that we cherish is as an old fruitcake, unwanted and rejected by the world, even as they celebrate the birth of its Savior. How did this happen? How did our faith become fruitcake? Well, we did a lot of it. If we're being honest, I mean, a lot of it is our fault. For far too long, we've allowed our faith to be viewed as fruitcake. A little too nutty, a little stale, just kept on the back shelf till the holidays roll around. We have to get it out and dust it off and try to pass it off again. If we're being honest, we know that far too many of our brothers and sisters in this faith have used this faith as a weapon, a cudgel to beat the masses with, a mace to flail at the world when it hurts us or ignores us. How many times have I had to meet with a young couple eager to begin their journey as husband and wife, only to discover that because they come from different strains of the same faith, they are unwelcome to marry in their respective church homes? He's a Baptist, she's a Catholic. Neither cleric nor community will take them until somebody converts. Because they don't do it right, and only we do it right. If you're not going to do it our way, which is the right way, then we're not going to do it anyway. Or, how many times have a couple with just an inkling of faith, just a splash, somebody at some point handed it to them and they stuck it in their pocket and didn't even realize what it was, and they've carried it with them all their life, and now it's time to get married, and they say, "We need to get married in church because that's where marriages happen." And they come to a church to get married, and they discover as they cautiously enter the house of faith for the first time in years, first time ever, they discover that we'll be happy to impart God's blessing upon their lives as husband and wife if they're willing to pay a few thousand dollars or join. How many times have I stood in a hospital room or a hospice room or a bedroom and seen a brother or sister taking their final steps on this earthly journey and offered a prayer with the family only to see out of my periphery vision someone step out of the room? A sibling, a child, a spouse, someone for who, as painful as these final moments are, faith has been too much of a bruising battle in their life and they want nothing to do with it now. How many times have I seen Christians, disciples in this faith, stumble into a room brandishing their faith like a loaded handgun discovered at the back of their father's closet, waving it to and fro, not caring who might get hit with it or who might get harmed? This faith. This faith which finds us and fills us, which saves us and sets us free. This faith which raises us and redeems us. This faith which has been the light in the darkness over and over. This faith which heals us and makes us whole, completes us and comforts us. This faith is what we are called to share. This faith is the gift we are called to give. This faith which paints a different picture of our world, which paints a picture of the world where the first are last and the last are first, where the king is born in a stable and dies on a cross. This faith that tells us the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This faith shall stand as a signal to the peoples. This faith, this gift we carry, is not painting a picture of an alternate reality in those verses from Isaiah. It is painting a picture of the intended reality. This faith paints a picture of God's kingdom that we are to pursue and that we are to share with the world. But not if they believe they are just getting old fruitcake. We must do better. We must share this faith and have it found full of joy and peace, not hatred and vitriol. We must share this faith and find it full of hope and love and not condemnation and critique. We must share this faith and find it full of righteousness and redemption, justice and kindness, caring and humility. And when we do, the world will discover that it isn't old fruitcake we are offering, but something new and beautiful and amazing. Jim Owens has a secret. I went to talk with Jim this week about Deborah's service tomorrow. As we were talking, Jim would talk about a wide range of topics, as Jim sometimes will. And somehow or another, I didn't actually bring it up, but we brought on the subject of fruitcakes. It turns out Jim's sister makes a delightful, delicious white fruitcake. He told me about it. Says he gets it every Christmas, looks forward to it, can't wait for it. It is absolutely amazing. Every year, she sends him a new fruitcake. He takes that fruitcake to the Christmas party on his floor at Lakeview, the retirement community where he lives. The floor he lives on, they have a Christmas party. Everybody brings something. Jim brings fruitcake. But first, he has to disguise it. He cuts the fruitcake into very thin pieces, diamond shapes, lays them out beautifully on a Christmas platter, takes them in, sets them on the table, people love them. Jim has never brought any home from that party. If he wants any, he has to set some aside before he takes it, because they're going to eat it all. And Jim just smiles and never lets on that what he has fed them is fruitcake. Because if he did, many people in the room would reject it out of hand. Not because they don't like it, but because it's fruitcake. We do not have to enter the room swinging our faith like a bludgeon, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, seeking to hurt and divide and conquer. John saw them coming and said, "You brood of vipers." They were people of faith, but it was a faith that hurt. And John was talking about a faith that brought peace. We can come in offering this faith in kindness and love, offering it in concern and support, offering it in joy and hope, offering it as a fruit worthy of repentance. And see how the people take it then, when they don't see it as a fruitcake, but as a beautiful gift that speaks of a baby born on a tender night so long ago.